Hey there, Gathering Point Church. It's Jeff Henderson from Atlanta, Georgia, and I am so honored to be a part of this series with Paul and so grateful to be one of your communicators. And let me show you one of my favorite t-shirts to begin. I love this shirt and so grateful for what you do to make this a reality in your county. I love the tag here that this is more than a phrase. This is a mission, a movement to let the people of Kankakee County know there's a God who is for them. Now, if you're part of Gathering Point Church, I just want to let you know this is having a big impact, not just where you are, but where we are. Our staff has seen you doing this, seen the amazing things that you're doing, even in these challenging days. And I just want to cheer you on and celebrate you and Paul and the team. You all are doing an extraordinary work. And it's one of the reasons why, as challenging as these days have been and as challenging as these days are, it's also an opportunity for you and for Gathering Point and for us at Gwinnett Church. It's an extraordinary opportunity to let our communities know that God is for them. And the reason that this is important is now more than ever, I think people are looking for hope. Now more than ever, they're looking for a group of people to kind of point the way. And there is no greater organization in the world that has a greater message, a greater opportunity than the Church of Jesus. And so for those of you that are gathered, whether you're online, maybe in person in some form or fashion with friends, I just want to let you know, even though things look a little bit different, the thing I love about Gathering Point Church, you never closed. Yeah, it looks different, right? It looks a little bit different, or it looks a lot of bit different. But the reality is you have an extraordinary opportunity and you have leveraged this opportunity. And I just want to encourage you, as someone that's several miles away down south, we're cheering you on and we're so excited about what God's doing through you and the potential of what God's doing through this series. Now, Paul did an extraordinary job last week of launching this idea about be rich, and it's to be rich in good deeds. And oh my goodness, wouldn't you agree that now more than ever, being a church that's rich in good deeds, it's gonna be elevated. Every single thing that you do is elevated and magnified because of how challenging these days are. So today, I wanna take a kind of step back and talk about what we're gonna talk about today in two ways. The first is I want to talk about this idea of being rich in good deeds, but I also want to connect it to this idea of being for Kankakee County. And to do that, just to give you a little bit of background on our church and kind of how FOR really was kind of started in terms of really a calling and mission for us, and we've been so inspired to see what you've been doing as well. We asked this question, and that question is at the early days of our church at Gwinnett Church, we asked the question, what do we want to be known for? What do we want to be known for? And there are a lot of great answers to that question, right? And when it comes to a church, we obviously want to be known for being for Jesus, right? That's awesome. But what about the people that might not believe in Jesus yet? We still want to be for them. Or what about the people who've said no to church? We still want to be for them. In fact, we said, you know, we want to say yes to those who've said no to Jesus. We want to say yes to those who've said no to the church. We want to say yes to those who've said no to what we believe. And something powerful happens when people who've said no to Jesus, the church, and what we believe, when they experience that there's a local church like yours that is still saying yes to them in very tangible, real ways, there's something powerful that happens in that moment. So at the early days of our church, we asked the question, what do we want to be known for? In fact, I think this is a great question. If you're a business leader, I think this is a great question for you to ask your business, your team, your leadership team, perhaps, your coworkers, your colleagues, to say, hey, when it comes to our business, what do we want to be known for? And here's why this is important. And you know this as a business leader. When there's confusion about what you want to be known for in the office space, there will be confusion about it in the marketplace. When there's confusion in the office space, there will be confusion in the marketplace. That's why it's so important for a business or organization to understand what do we want to be known for. Now, it's not just true for businesses. It's true for churches. In fact, maybe more so. Because there's a second question I think any organization needs to ask, and that is, what are we known for? Now, question number one is, what do we want to be known for? Question number two is, what are we known for? And in the very early days of our church, when we were just getting started, we asked those two questions. And in this meeting, someone said this, well, what are we known for? And our church wasn't known for anything because we hadn't even really started yet. But someone said this. They said, well, I'll tell you this. When it comes to the global church, many people are more familiar with what the church is against rather than what the church is for. And in that moment, we all just kind of looked at each other and went, wow. Not only is that a profound statement, it's also a heartbreaking, sobering, and very sad statement. And here's why. And you know this. We have the greatest message the world has ever heard. In fact, I'm about to read to you what I believe, my humble opinion, is the greatest message the world has ever and will ever hear. And we've somehow, in the minds of many people, somehow they've missed this message that I'm about to read to you, and they are more familiar with what the church is against. And for many people, they also assume that that means the church is against them, which is mind-boggling to me, by the way, because we have the world's most inclusive message. Everyone's welcome. Everyone's invited. Everyone gets in the very same way. And yet, this message and the person of this message, Jesus, and I'm a former marketing guy, so hang with me on this, right? I know the church isn't a business. I get all that. But the brand, if you will, of the church is that the church is more known for what it's against rather than who and what we're for. Well, as for Gathering Point Church and as for Gwinnett Church and a growing number of churches, that's not going to be our story. We want to be known to be a group of people who gather together online, in location, in our neighborhoods, in our businesses, in our schools, and we want to be a delightful group of people who carry and embody a message to let the people in our community know that there is a God who is for them, and there's a church called Gathering Point that's for them, and we want to display that every opportunity we get. Which is why this series that Paul launched last week, and he'll conclude next week, is an extraordinary opportunity for you to let Kankakee County know that God is for them, that God is for the people in your life, God is for your neighbor down the street, God is for the people that you work with, God is for the person on the Zoom call that you're with, God is for the teacher, the student, God is for them. So maybe we need to hit kind of the reset button, if you will, and revisit a message that maybe in some form or fashion, the great news about Gathering Point, this message has not been overlooked, all right? But maybe in the Global C Church, we've somehow overlooked this message to get to the point that we realize that many people are more familiar with what the church is against rather than what the church is for. So what I want to do for just a few more minutes is to show you who and what God is for. And knowing that, I have a specific invitation for you this week in part two of Be Rich. To do this, I'm going to read you arguably the most famous Bible verse of them all. But, you know, as Mark Twain said, sometimes we don't need new information. We just need to be reminded of what we already know. And the reason that for Kankakee County is so important is it ties directly to what I'm about to read here. And it's not just these words, it's the reality and the truth of these words. And you know this, but here, in my humble estimation, is the greatest message the world has ever heard. In Gathering Point, we just got to stay on message. I'm telling you, if we just stay on message, and I'm about to give you an example of how you can do that this week. If we stay on this message, it can have a significant difference. Here's these amazing words, and it actually starts with the word for. My favorite definition of the word for is to be in favor of. And these two words, for God, the two words in this verse, in essence, tells us, let me show you who God is in favor of. I love that. So, for God so loved the world. Now, this verse that Jesus is saying here, I love it, but there's this one little word with two letters in it, and it's so. And the verse could have read, "For God loved the world." That would be fine. But Jesus wasn't content. He put that little word "so" there. And you know what "so" means. "So" means most certainly, without a doubt. So let me speak directly to some of you who might think today that God somehow, that you are somehow disqualified from the grace of God, that somehow because of something in your past, God doesn't so love you. According to Jesus, the past in your life, if you will, the things that you regret, they don't disqualify you from grace. They actually qualify you for the grace of God. And Jesus came for you because God so loves you. But who does God so love? Well, "For God so loved the world." This is an all skate. This is for everyone. "For God so loved the world." Now, how do we know that? We know that because of what comes next. What God was willing to give up shows us how much He loves you and me. "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Do you know who God is in favor of? God is in favor of everyone in the world. "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes and places their faith in Jesus would not perish, but have eternal life." That's John 3:16. Now, John 3:16 is extraordinary, but I think John 3:17 is just as powerful. It doesn't get as much airplay, if you will. But let me just read John 3:17. It says, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him." So we have this extraordinary God who so loves the world, who gave His Son. He did not come to condemn, but to save. This extraordinary message, and yet the church that Jesus planted 2,000 years later, in many respects, is known more for who and what we're against. Are you kidding me? How did we get here? Well, there are a lot of different answers to that. But rather than dive into that, what I want to do is to applaud you for what you're doing at your church and in your community and in your county. This shirt that I just showed you, it's just not a t-shirt. It's just not a phrase. It's in the ethos of who you are. And that's why this week you have an extraordinary opportunity to show the people in your community that you are for them. This week, in part two of Be Rich, it's the Serve Week. And this is connected to wanting to be a church that is known more for who and what we're for than who and what we're against. So I want to give you a specific challenge that you could serve two groups of people this week. And obviously, these days are challenging days, right? We have to practice all the safety guidelines and all that, and we're not encouraging you not to do anything like to disregard any health guidelines. But at the same time, think through, how could you serve people this week? First, I would encourage you to start with your immediate family or your immediate circle of close friends. Who is that? Because wouldn't you agree that sometimes, not all the times, but sometimes the people that are closest in our closest proximity, sometimes we take them for granted. So what could you do this week? Let me talk to the students, high school students that are watching this. Let me tell you something. If you did this week, your parents might pass out. If you would just simply write them a thank you note and say, "Hey, thank you for providing for me. Thank you for providing food for me. Thank you for providing shelter for me. Thank you for being my mom. Thank you for being my dad." Or if you want to go really outlandish, maybe write a letter to your brother or sister. They will definitely pass out if they get a handwritten encouraging note from you. But this week, could you serve someone by serving them with encouragement? Maybe that's what they need. A mentor of mine said that the international sign that someone needs encouragement is if they are breathing. If they're breathing, they need encouraging. And I bet there are some people in your small circle, your close circle, maybe it's your family, close friends. Maybe there's somebody this week that you can serve by serving them with encouragement to say, "Hey, I see you. I'm here for you. I believe in you. I'm for you. And I see what you're doing. Parents, this would be a great thing for you to do as well. Hey, I see what you're doing. Keep working hard. And just put it where they're going to wake up and see it the next morning. Here's a crazy thing, and I know the staff, I'm hoping they're not going to edit this out. Gathering Point Church, I think every one of you should write a note of encouragement to your staff and to your pastor. As you might know, these are challenging days to be leading a church, and it's a challenging day. These are challenging days to be leading anything, but particularly a local church. When's the last time you've emailed your church just to say, hey, I don't have any issues. I'm not complaining about anything. I'm not telling you I need anything. I just want to email you to say thank you. You have no idea. And as a pastor and a preacher's kid, we rarely get those kind of emails. And so on behalf of pastors, and again, I'm not on staff at Gathering Point, so I can say this, I think you should encourage your staff because church staff really need it, and we all need it. But who can you serve this week in that immediate circle? And the second is an opportunity for us to extend beyond that circle and maybe go a few houses or staying within the block of where you live. Is there a neighbor that you could somehow encourage? Maybe you drop off some food. Maybe you encourage them with a note. Maybe you encourage them with a call. Maybe you do something for them as a way of just serving them. And when you do that, what's happening is you are practicing this verse that Paul referenced last week, that you are being rich in good deeds. And when you do that, you shine a light on the fact that there is hope for people. And the reason that there is hope for people is because Jesus is alive. And when Jesus comes in and through you and tangibly expresses that as you serve people in your close circle of life, and maybe within someone within your block, if you were to do those two things this week, who knows what God could do with those small acts of service? Because the reality is, especially in today's world, there really is no small act of service. It's a really big deal. So what do we want you to do with this? We want you to act. We want you to serve. But by serving, let me show you what you're doing. You're living this out. This week, when you are rich in good deeds and serving your neighbor, when you are rich in good deeds, when you are serving that close family member, when you write that note, when you deliver that food, or maybe when you send that gift card, whatever it is that you feel like God might want you to do, this is what you're doing. But don't miss this. This connects to this. And the reason that is important is what you're doing as a community at Gathering Point is really significant. What you're doing is you're letting a group of people know that there's a church in their community, that if they're going to do their very, very best to let the people in your surrounding community know that God is for them. And the reason you know that is because God is for you too. My hope for you, Gathering Point, here's my hope for you. I have a lot of hopes for you. Here's one of them. I hope you never get over the fact that Jesus has saved you from yourself, from your sin, and then he's leading you into eternity. I hope you never get over the fact that Jesus says to you, I forgive you. I hope that wrecks you. I hope that rocks you, because show me a church that is still tender with this unbelievable, like, are you kidding me? Jesus loves me. Jesus is for me. I am now a son or daughter of the King of the universe. Show me a church that whose hearts are rejoicing and have never gotten cold, but are tender, still tender to that message, and I'll show you a church on the move. I'll show you a church where the Spirit of Jesus is moving and reaching and going further and faster than they can ever possibly imagine. And that's why this week is an extraordinary week. So here's your challenge. Let's show this community this week that this isn't just a t-shirt. You get to live it out. So who is it? Who is it in your family or close circle of friends that you're going to serve this week? Who is it within the block of the neighborhood you're going to go serve this week? Who will you be rich in good deeds toward? Because it's not just to them, but it's also to your Savior. I think this week's going to be an extraordinary week for you. So before we go any further, I want to pray for the people that you're going to serve, and I'm going to pray for you. Father, thank you for this incredible church. Thank you for Paul and the team, and I just want to encourage and lift them up to you. And I pray for that close family member, that circle, someone in that close circle of relationships. As we go serve that person this week, I just pray that you would do something in that, you know, what might seem like a small act of kindness, but with your power and with your presence, nothing is small. I pray for the person that we're going to maybe serve down the block. I pray that maybe that would start a conversation, and maybe that might lead to a spiritual conversation about how great you are. I just pray for that conversation, and I thank you for this church and what they're doing in their county and community. And we pray all of this in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen and amen.